That's the 29th annual Cascade Festival of African Films. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogring. And there's been a funny little news item going around the internet lately. Of course, it's not, I wouldn't call it fake, but it's not a true item. And but it says that, yes, Mexico has said it will pay for the wall, but if we use the old borders. In other words, Mexico has offered to build a wall that goes through Northern California, Nevada, and kind of circles around through Colorado and Utah, and it kind of includes all the land that the U.S. Stole from Mexico back in the 1845. That is. It turns out that, of course, the Mexicans, they also stole, both sides stole land from the Indians, who were the first ones here. And so this border theft and the injustice that we inflict on immigrants today has led some people to call for no borders at all. And they say things like, well, you know, money moves easily. Money crosses borders very easily. Why can't people? Well, to me, that is a that's an abstract argument. It's not so easy with real people. You think money can be sent around the world with just a few keystrokes, but for a person to move anywhere, you know, you have to pack up. Say goodbye to your friends and relatives and loved ones and set about traveling. It's not an easy thing to do. And so, but people say that, that people go where the jobs are. And we might ask, why do people have to chase around the world pursuing jobs that are dangled in front of them by global capital? We see that in the past, one reason that we have such an immigration problem with Mexico is that, for one thing, NAFTA destroyed Mexican farming back in the late 1900s. Our subsidized corn and it wiped out Mexican farms. Farmers had no place else to go. Imports doubled in Mexico. Wages actually, by the early part of this century, wages in Mexico had fallen by 22%. And so you find in Mexico today and in Central America, you find whole towns that are populated by women, children, and old folks. The men have all left to seek chasing these jobs in the United States. And if they can get these jobs, they can save their money and send some home. And so in these town of women, children, and old people, you see various homes sort of in progress of being built. Well, you wonder, is that a good way to improve the housing in Mexico by having the menfolk travel to this country, work at onerous jobs, and send back a little money and build these houses piece by piece? It doesn't seem like a very good way a very good way to accomplish that task. Another thing that happens in these countries where the immigrants come from is you have a brain drain. You know, the home country pays for an education, and then the but the United States gets the benefits, and some of the money gets sent home, you know, to build those houses. But you find things like I read recently that in the city of Chicago, there are more Ethiopian physicians than in all of Ethiopia. Also that by the year 2010, 45% of all migrants are college educated. Well, who paid for those college educations but the taxpayers of their home countries? It's a real problem. You know, you can say, yes, people do have a right to move. There's no doubt about that. We don't keep people prisoners in their home countries, but we have to recognize that this has its costs, and we shouldn't ignore those costs. If we look at history, we find that that empires in the past have generally always sucked in the ambitious people, because that's where the money is in the capital of the empire. So these empires, they suck in people, the talented people, the people who have the wherewithal or the ambition to leave, along with all the natural resources. You know, that's sort of the saying goes that all roads to lead to Rome. That's one thing that it means. Well, let's look at a little more history regarding borders. Ireland is an island, so it had natural borders. It was surrounded by sea. And back in the 1600s, after finally succeeding in conquering Ireland, the British brought in a whole lot of Scottish Protestants to rule, to steal land from the Irish landowners and to rule for the empire. And that persists to this day. That's what Northern Ireland is all about. These were Scottish Protestants brought in to further the British Empire. This was not a exercise in cultural assimilation. It was a tool of empire, and it ultimately led to the Great Famine. These great British-owned plantations were exporting food whilst Irish peasants, Irish farmers, were starving. So this is one result of the empire's using borders for their own purposes. They created a border in Northern Ireland between Northern Ireland and the Republic, which is coming back to haunt them now because it is complicating this whole Brexit deal, which I don't quite understand anyway, but we'll have to do more research on that. But for some, you know, if the Brits do exit from the European Union, that leaves the Republic of Ireland, which is still in the Union, European Union, and so there will be once again what they call a hard border between the Irish Republic and Northern Ireland, which nobody wants. Another case is that people may not know about is in Burma, Myanmar. I'm not quite sure how Myanmar got, whether that's the original name or what, or who decided that that was going to be the name for this nation. But anyway, back in the imperial days, when Britain ruled India and Britain ruled Burma, the Brits decided that they moved in a lot of people from Bengal into Burma to work on the plantations. They were cheap labor, and to the Brits, borders didn't mean anything. It was like an administrative thing. It was all part of the empire, and so they moved in these people who are now known as the Rohingya to work on these plantations, displacing a lot of people who are already there. Well, that was the source of this crisis that's going on right now, where the descendants, the people, the Rohingya people, are being mistreated by the independent nation of Burma for these historical reasons, which is not justified. It is wrong to what is being done to these people, but at the same time, it helps us understand how this situation came about. It came about because of the British Empire set it up that way, and they are sort of absolved of all blame. They can sit back and lament the cruelties inflicted on the Rohingya, which they helped set up in the first place. A similar situation is going on in Sri Lanka. Back in the imperial days, it was known as Ceylon, and the British decided to move Tamil people from India into Ceylon again, once again, to work on the plantations, probably the tea plantations. And so then when Ceylon became independent along with India, you had this enclave of Tamils, mainly in the northern part of that island, and you've had all sorts of problems. You've had warfare going on. You had the Tamil Tigers, which were a very potent guerrilla force at one time. I think they were defeated. Whether that's a final defeat, I don't know. So these are some of the backgrounds of these border disputes. In a way, empires are trans-border entities. They don't. They have a very strange position regarding borders. If you look at Africa, at one time before the scramble for Africa, where the European nations divided up that continent, if you look at the map of what it was like before the Great Scramble, there were somewhere between 50 and 100 various nations, tribal lands, or whatever, where different groups lived. And then the Europeans came in, they drew these arbitrary lines on maps and set up a lot of the problems you have today. So the empires, they don't really care too much about who lives on the land that they rule over. You know, as far as the empire is concerned, workers can come and go as needed, and then they are discarded. A very interesting thing, I just ran across this the other day, that there is another border dispute which could serve as a pretext for some U.S. mischief, and it concerns Venezuela. Venezuela borders Guyana, which at one time was a British possession. In some ways, the Brits still have a lot of influence over Guyana. And there is this area, Rio Essequibo. It's an oil-rich region, which is right there. I think it is in Guyana, but it's sort of on the border. The Venezuelans claim it also. And this dispute has been going on for some time. It is an oil-rich region, and the U.S. apparently has been encouraging Guyana to drill for oil, which greatly annoys the Venezuelans because they claim this territory as theirs. And so this might be something, with all the other problems going on with the U.S. trying to bring down the government of Venezuela, this is another one to keep an eye on. So the number to call, if you want to weigh in on this, the number to call is 503-231-8187. What do you think of? Do borders have any use at all? What are they for? Do they protect people? It's hard to imagine if you talk about an invasion, the way the U.S. has invaded various countries, that implies some kind of a border to delineate the part of the earth that they are invading. We know that a lot of the people who are trying to get into this country from Central America are fleeing their home countries because the U.S. in the past has done all it could to destroy Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras. They are still at it. They're still trying to rule these countries and suck out their resources. And the people who are living there, they are some of them are fleeing for their lives from the governments that the U.S. has helped set up. So that is sort of the root of the problem that we have with our own borders. We have a caller online. John is online. Good morning, John.
Yes. You know, I think it would be a great idea to poach the rotten pear, to just use some propane, strap you down in a bathtub, boil you alive because you're a traitor.
What? How do you mean? Hmm? Well, that's interesting. Well, a traitor implies some kind of a traitor to what? A traitor implies, I suppose, treason to some country or other, and countries are usually defined by their borders. Although apparently one country, Israel, does not have its permanent borders defined yet. That is still being worked out. But anyway, do we have another caller? LJ is on the line. Morning, LJ.
Hey, Pierre, how you been?
Oh, pretty good. I just got called a traitor by somebody.
You're a traitor?
I don't know to what. Well, anyway.
Pierre, dagnabbit, you've been a traitor ever since I've known you.
Oh, dear.
Okay, can we talk about them slapping a little lipstick on Elliot Abrams? And
oh, wow, yes.
And now he's in charge of the Venezuelan operation.
Yes.
And some of your listeners might not know about Elliot Abrams' history, but Elliot Abrams is in truth and in fact a war criminal. He was convicted of lying to Congress, and he also got a presidential pardon from H.W. Bush,
mm-hmm.
him along with Caspar Weinberger. And you'll never guess who suggested to H.W. To pardon him.
I don't know who.
Why? Bill Witt, our brand new Attorney General.
Oh, wow. Well, kind of a little closed little circle there, a little daisy chain or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm a total daisy chain. So anyway, I just wanted to add that to the conversation, and about as far as the wall is concerned, can we simply just call it an apartheid wall,
mm-hmm.
and get it over with once and for all?
Well, maybe they should build it on those original borders, you know.
Well, gosh, being the evil Imperial Empire, stole about a third of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? One more quick point, and I'll get off the air. Donald Trump and John Bolton said the reason for the Venezuelan venture is because of the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump said, quote, and I quote, "Venezuela is in our hemisphere, so the oil belongs to us."
Oh, wow! Well, our backyard.
Yeah, it's on our backyard. It belongs to us. How much more of an empire could the evil empire be?
Well, that kind of takes the concept of backyard oil wells to a new kind of a new level or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pierre, have a really good day. It's good talking to you, man.
Well, thank you. Well, this whole thing about oil, I think I mentioned, you know, my last show 2 weeks ago. We talked about how the oil that's in the ground, it took millions of years to form, and we, and by meaning the people of the world, have used up half of it in just 200 years. So let that sink in, because and the other half cannot be used because it is not very energy efficient, and also it is poisoning our own atmosphere. So here we are. This is sort of the big picture of how we got into this mess with oil and other natural resources. but I think we might have somebody on the line. Curtis on the line. Good morning, Curtis.
One thing on board, if we were to have a border zone, I think it should be around a watershed, and where things can stay within a cycle. Things should not be going outside of a watershed into the border at all. And then one other thing is, do you think we could fool Trump into thinking there's a wall down there if we had a bunch of mimes go down there and do the invisible wall, maybe dress them in ponchos and sombreros and do the invisible wall, and maybe you'll think that there's a wall there.
Can make a virtual wall or something.
Yeah, an invisible wall.
Like a hologram. How about a hologram?
Yeah, provide jobs. More jobs for mimes.
Well, you know, somebody said that actually, you know, if and when Trump builds his wall, what's to stop Mexico from building a stairway on their side of it?
Right, show me a 30-foot wall, I'll show you a 30-foot ladder.
There we go.
All right, thanks for a great show. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Do we have somebody else on the line? Jack is on the line. Good morning, Jack.
Yeah, I traveled around Europe a lot in the 70s, you know, it probably the privilege of having an American passport. Sometimes didn't even have to show a passport. You know, they just look at you and think, oh, "This person's probably okay. Go ahead." You know, and sometimes there was not even a checkpoint. You know, I mean, it was, and this was, you know, oh, I don't know, what, 20 years before EU, right? There wasn't much concern about it, and you know, Germany had its guest worker program. France had a lot of North Africans coming in to work, and they understood that they needed this work, and they had programs for people to come and go, and there just wasn't a big deal. Now, more immediately, the wall. I don't know if you've seen the news articles about this, but the lawsuits, not only are the states filing lawsuits, I mean, that's one thing, but I think the serious lawsuits are coming along are the ones that are being filed by property owners along the where they intend to actually continue the construction, and getting the construction equipment and materials in and out to the actual wall. They have to go across millions of acres of private land. And you know the history, you've brought it up. Well, I'll just remind people, a lot of that land was taken at gunpoint, defended at gunpoint. And we're talking about Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona.
Right.
They'll do it again. So I don't know if the Trump regime is willing to really go and fight those people, but if they don't win if they don't win what they want in court, they may have a real fight on their hands. You know, property rights, water rights, all that's taken pretty seriously. You know, where people ranch and farm, and if he thinks that's his base, he probably should think about it again, and you know, find a better solution.
Well, you know, the whole region's having water problems already, and they will get worse. And if they get much worse, that whole region may not be worth fighting over anyway.
As far as the territory goes, yeah, and the people might just move away. You never know. You know, they could just abandon it. You know. So, anyway, it's something to consider. You know, the access. I mean, the lawsuits are already coming. They've been coming for ever since. You know, the construction's been going on there for quite a long time. Little bits and pieces here and there, and there've been lawsuits about it already, and there's more coming. And so, I think I predict that. That wall will never get completed as proposed, mainly because of the property rights issues.
Mm-hmm. That could be. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah.
Well, I might point out, you know, that, you know, the border problem you know, the border issue is one thing, and the ease of crossing those borders is another issue. You know, we have here in the United States, we have state borders. You know, California doesn't tell Oregon what to do, but you can go back and forth into California without any problem at all. And so you can have borders and still have free travel across those borders. But in the past, at the same time that you have that, you do have corporations taking advantage of discrepancies among the states. Great example of that would be how open borders have killed the New England textile industry. New England was full of cotton mills at one time, and they moved down, but this is, I guess, during the 60s, they moved to the South because the wages were cheap. And so you had the same kind of thing going on there as far as, you know, the corporations taking advantage of these things, whether or not you had borders, whether or not you had free travel across those lines. So, and finally, one thing that nobody talks about, in a way, you know, the idea of people just sort of wanting to be left alone sometimes is looked down upon. Well, of course, a lot depends on their reasons for wanting to be left alone. But right here, we have this whole question of gentrification, where you have communities are being torn apart because people with money are coming in and building up, buying up property and rentals, and raising the cost of living in these areas, and so the people who live there are being forced out because they are not able to pay their rent or afford a house or anything else. So they move out to cheaper areas. That is a real problem. And so it's not just a local problem. You find this happening on a global scale where there is a kind of a world gentrification, where people with money, say Americans or Europeans, can kind of take over areas of a host country, like Mexico or like Spain or whoever, where they move in and they displace. When they move in, other people are moving out. And so you have this kind of a global gentrification going on too, which is a problem. It's not... this is more than just cultural assimilation. It is a kind of a takeover. It's sort of on a scale big enough to make a difference to the people who actually live there. So I suppose, you know, we kind of tend to look down on borders in an abstract way, and for all their problems, they do serve some kind of a purpose. They sort of tell you if you have a sort of a community, that community has to be defined in some way. That and one way is you locate that community, and that's what borders do. They locate where people live, and the way people move around and are forced around in this world is not always a good thing. So, having said that, this has been Fight the Empire. And stay tuned, because coming up is the Heather McCoy Show, and this will be a talk about journalist Cashmere Hill, about her attempt to block the big five tech firms out of her life. This should be very interesting. And then at 11, Between the Covers, David Naiman spends an hour with Matilda Bernstein Sycamore, whose latest book is the novel Sketch to See. So this is all on KBOO, your radio station.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted.